Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
All aboard!
Today we take Route 51 to the Highway 64 exit and head into the city of Merrill, as we also head back into time, back when Merrill was called Jenny, and back when the railroads provided the main transportation link for all of the communities in the Wisconsin River Valley. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining us here in our studio in Wausau, Tom Berg, the author of a beautiful new book of pictures documenting those early days. It's called Route of the Northwoods Hiawatha, the Milwaukee Roads Wisconsin Valley Line. Tom is joined by his wife, Pat Berg, the treasurer of the Merrill Historical Society. And we also have with us today the society's president, B. Liebel. We'll be looking back at the early days of that community and also looking for its future, because the Merrill Historical Society is in the process of raising money for a new museum and a cultural center. Maybe you've got questions about the days when the railroads ruled the North Woods. Maybe you've got some memories or some stories about what Merrill was like in the old days, or what it was like to ride on the Hiawatha Line. As always, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Tom and Pat Berg and B. Liebel, thanks so much for being with us today on Route 51 and on the Hiawatha Line, I might add. Let's start with the Merrill Historical Society. Pat and B, tell us about the plans for this new history museum and cultural center.
Our plans for the History and Culture Center started being formed about 4 years ago when we were displaced from our former home, which was the T.B. Scott home, the home of T.B. Scott, the mayor of Merrill. And we were lucky enough to be in that home for quite some time because the church that owned the house allowed us to use it for a museum for many years. About 4 years ago, they needed that space and we had to vacate the home. And we found a new home at the former Bethlehem Lutheran Church, still on 3rd Street. We moved down from 804 to 102 and are in the process of developing and adding on to the 1926 church there that will give us the Merrill History and Culture Center.
So you're using an old historic building as the basis for this center that you're going to build.
Correct. And over the last 4 years, we've been taking care of that building by replacing the roof and re-letting the windows. And so we have this beautiful structure from 1926 that will be totally preserved with just some access into the very back of it so that we can provide elevator access to the building, which is now not very accessible because it's split level. You have to go up or down.
Well, building an elevator is not a cheap undertaking. How much money do you need to do all of this, and how far along are you?
Well,
let's hear from the treasurer, Pat Berg, the lady with the money answers.
Oh, okay. We need, or we are looking to raise $1 million. The entire turnkey operation, that's the parking lot, the new addition, the renovation of the current church, we can do that, we feel, for $1 million. So that's the money we're starting to raise with our campaign in the hopes of also doing a little re-imaging of ourselves as a historical society and bringing in the culture component, which Merrill has no particular venue at this time that's really dealing with local artists.
B, tell us about what you're doing in order to raise this money.
Well, we've, of course, been working with our members to encourage them to support our project, since we assume that they will be interested in the final product that we are looking to build. We've also contacted local organizations, service organizations. We are applying for grants as we find grants that appear to be appropriate to our situation, and just generally looking anywhere we can.
Well, how far along are you so far?
We have just over $200,000 in cash and pledges at this point. We feel that we don't necessarily need to raise the entire $1 million before we can start on our project, but we would like to be perhaps halfway there before we can start. Perhaps a little less than halfway, but we do want to have a considerable portion of the money available to us.
So you're storing all of this historic memorabilia on site right now?
No, we actually have three separate buildings right now. One building that we call the Livingston Center is where we have all of our artifacts stored at the present time. And then we have what was formerly the parsonage of the church. That is our office and library. And then the third building is the church itself.
So you've got all this stuff, but a lot of it isn't accessible to the public right now.
Absolutely.
What can people do? Where can they go if they want to contribute, if they want to find out more about what you're trying to do?
They can certainly contact the Merrill Historical Society. Our office is open Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 1:30. We have an answering machine that they can definitely leave a message and someone will get back to them. They also can contact me directly if they're interested, or they could go to our website. We have an opportunity to pledge by credit card.
And what is the website?
It is www.merrillhistoricalsoc.com.
Historicalsoc.com. And that phone number again?
715-536-5652.
Let's talk about Tom's book now for just a little bit. We're going to be, during the course of this program, we're going to be going back and forth talking about the history of Merrill, the history of some of these communities, and the role that the railroads played in all of this. Tom, how did the book come about?
Well, the book really came about as a result of the Milwaukee Road Historical Association deciding to have its 2010 convention here in Wausau. And in the course of the preparations for that, someone suggested reproducing the existing history book called The Wisconsin Valley Line. That was a 1970s book by John Klein and Ray Specht. And for a variety of reasons, that didn't seem to work out. But Klein's photo collection is at the Marathon County Historical Society. The MRHA has a photo collection. Ultimately, it came to pass that those two entities, along with our small publishing business, Merrill Publishing Associates, got together on pulling everything together and writing this book, new book, photo book on the historic history of the Valley Line.
Boy, you've got some beautiful old photos, including, it looks like a photo on the front, but it's a painting of these beautiful old locomotives, some of them steam locomotives, some of them diesels, many of them with this Art Deco streamlined locomotive exterior. And again, the name of the book, The Root of the North Woods Hiawatha. Where did all the photos come from? Did they all come from the Merrill Historical Society?
Well, the photos came from a variety of places. Milwaukee Road Historical Association, Marathon County Historical Society, Merrill Historical Society, T.B. Scott Library in Merrill, several private collections, plus the Roy Campbell photo collection that Merrill Publishing Associates works with. Let me expand upon what you said about the Art Deco train and the title of the book. This was a very interesting railroad, but its real signature item was the streamlined Hiawatha trains beginning in the 1930s. As the nation came out of the Depression, the railroads, to show that they were progressive and moving forward, created these streamlined trains. Some of them were diesel-powered, the Burlington Route Zephyr. And the Milwaukee Road inaugurated the old technology steam locomotives, but in very brightly colored streamlined trains from Chicago to Milwaukee to the Twin Cities on their main line. And that line joined with the Wisconsin Valley Line at New Lisbon. And in 1935, those trains inaugurated. And in 36, they decided to make the train on the Valley Line the Northwoods Hiawatha and streamline several existing locomotives to pull that train. As you said, it's a very brightly colored orange, maroon, and gray train. Most people, or many people, don't even know that it existed in this area at this time.
And it played such an important part in the history of the Wisconsin Valley and in the development, the economic development, all of the communities along the Wisconsin River, including Merrill.
Yes, if you look back to Wisconsin after the Civil War, the northern half of Wisconsin was completely forested with very merchantable timber, but the only way to get it out was to float it down the rivers to sawmills and then raft it down to the Mississippi River, down the Wisconsin River. So a railroad was badly needed, and in 1872 they chartered the Wisconsin Valley Railroad to build to Wausau. And then it eventually went, in 1880, went farther north to the village of Jenny, which in that year was renamed the city of Merrill after the general manager of the Milwaukee Railroad, S.S. Merrill.
Let's talk about that in just a second, but I understand you've got a book signing this weekend, this Saturday night.
Well, actually, we have a couple of them going on. The Merrill Historical Society is having an artist showcase, which includes our books. The next one, the one's going on right now, actually, although I'm not there to sign it. But the next one will be Saturday from 11 to 4, and then at Yankee Bookstore Saturday evening from 6 to 8.
When they've got the Exhibitor Art Festival going on downtown. So, again, if you want to meet Tom Berg and you want to check out this book and even get a signed copy, it's at the Merrill Historical Society, 11 to 4 this coming Saturday.
Correct.
And then from 6 to 8 p.m. at Yankee Books in downtown Wausau.
Correct.
Let's talk about Jenny. Merrill used to be called Jenny. Who was she?
Jenny was, at least rumor is, nobody's really been able to substantiate this story, but the rumor is that Jenny was an Indian who had the first white child in Merrill and died in childbirth, and because of that, her father cursed the land that the T.B. Scott Mansion is on. And there have been a series of mishaps that occur to all of the people that seem to come in contact with the mansion after Jenny died.
But the Historical Society was located in that mansion, correct?
No, we were actually in T.B. Scott's house, which was living in while he
built... Not the mansion, but the house.
Well, he built the mansion. He himself never occupied the mansion. He died before it was completed. There were several people after that had various mishaps, and eventually the house was given to the city, who then contracted with the Holy Cross Sisters to come over from Switzerland, and they did, and evidently, they've had no problem that we know of.
So the sisters did what they were supposed to do when they moved in.
and so they've had a good existence there. So the name Jenny stuck with our town. Actually, Jenny Bull Falls was the original name that because they were on the river until about 1881. And then when the railroad started to come through and S.S. Merrill got involved, the name changed.
Jenny was an Indian princess? Is that the
That's
story?
The rumor. And I certainly wouldn't want to be quoted as saying we at the Merrill Historical Society believe that is fact. But that's the rumor that people love to propagate.
So the guy who ran the lumber company, or the guy who ran the railroad, had the city named after him?
Yes, he was the general manager now, not the owner or president, but yes, the city was named after him in appreciation of bringing in the transportation. Merrill Jenny was a sawmilling town, but until the railroad arrived, they really had no real good way to ship out their lumber.
So the timber industry was really the primary reason these railroads were built.
Yes.
But they became more than that over time.
Yes, they did. And, of course, the Wisconsin Valley Railroad was eventually extended north of Merrill to Tomahawk, Minocqua, Star Lake, and actually touched into Michigan. And basically, it was a huge logging railroad. All of those forests were logged and the logs carried by rail to various sawmills, many of them in Merrill, in Wausau, and the timber sawed and shipped out. Eventually, as the timber was depleted, tourism replaced sawmilling as a reason for the railroad and log hauling as a reason for the railroad. And places like Star Lake became famous resort areas. As you know, Minocqua still is, of course. Trains would leave Chicago on Friday night. People would spend their night in the sleeping car, and they'd arrive in Minocqua or Star Lake in the morning, spend their weekend. They'd get on the train on Sunday night and head back to Chicago, and the father would be back at work on Monday morning.
And those trains, there was a spur that went all the way up to Boulder Junction.
Correct.
Unbelievable. A lot of people who live in north central Wisconsin now, you know, never realized that you could travel by train from Chicago all the way up to Boulder Junction at one point in time, and not really that long ago.
That's right.
We're gonna touch on this a little bit more, and we'd like you to join the conversation. If you've got memories of what Merrill used to be like, or memories of what it was like when the trains actually connected all of these cities and villages along the Wisconsin River Valley. If you think maybe this is something that we maybe should be looking into in the future, maybe we should bring back passenger service. We've got plans right now for a high-speed rail link between Madison and Milwaukee. Maybe we could see a rebirth of the Northwoods Hiawatha. Give us a call, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. We are talking to Tom Berg, who is the author of Root of the North Woods Hiawatha, the Milwaukee Roads Wisconsin Valley Line, and also Pat Berg and B. Liebel of the Merrill Historical Society. We'd like you to join us, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go right to the phones. We've got Mary and Woodruff. Mary, you're on Route 51.
Hi. Well, I was saying to your screener that as a child, or as a, you know, a young child outside of Milwaukee growing up, I remember my dad was a traveling salesman, and my mom and I would take the train north from Milwaukee, and I was so young, I don't remember how far we went, but I remember getting at least as far as Green Bay and maybe even as far as Woodruff with on the passenger rail and meeting my dad, who was a salesman, and he couldn't get home a lot, so it was really great, though. It was like I just remember that so fondly.
Mary, what year was that? Do you have any idea? If you could, just give us a ballpark.
I want to say this is probably one of my earliest memories, so I want to think I was maybe about four, maybe 1959.
Well, in 1959, if she was on the Northwoods line, Tom, how far north could she have gone?
Yeah, probably not to Woodruff. Then the Valley Line came up through Wisconsin Rapids and Wausau, and that's about as far as it went in the late 50s. I think she's probably talking about the Chicago and Northwestern, whose line actually did come up through Antigo, Woodruff, up
that's
to Ironwood.
That's Antigo, because we used to go to Antigo for Thanksgiving. That must be the one.
Yeah. So that both of those lasted, the last passenger train out of Wausau was in 1970. I believe the Chicago and Northwestern was about the same time.
Mary, I understand this is a very early memory of yours, but how did that touch your life, the idea of being on that train?
I loved it. And because I remember as a young woman in my early 20s, that was one of my first trips on my own across the country, was on a train to San Francisco. And that was just so much fun. Oh, God. And I have a bumper sticker on my car right now. I'd rather be on a fast train.
Good for you.
So, but, yeah, and then, I mean, and even, like, when I go to Chicago to visit, We stay in the northern suburbs, and we take the train into the city. We don't bother.
It beats the Kennedy Expressway or the Edens,
absolutely.
You know, and it certainly beats the Dan Ryan. So.
And there's nothing I'd love more than to be able to get on a train, even in Wausau, and be able to go to Madison or Milwaukee.
Or maybe all the way down to Chicago. You know, reading Tom's book, it surprised me that there was passenger train service as far north as Wausau up until 1970. That's not that long ago.
It's really a shame that it didn't continue. I really hope it comes back.
Mary, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Tom, we have a fan of the railroads calling us up.
Well, I think there are an awful lot of people that really do love trains and love the memories of riding them. And, of course, you can ride them today. Pat and I do. I will say that I think in this day and age, we think in terms of the way, not the way the railroads run, but the way roads run. And the thought of going directly from here to Madison by train, for instance, is a little bit more cumbersome because the railroads don't run directly like roads do.
Mm-hmm.
So will there be passenger traffic from Wausau? I think it's probably unlikely in the near future.
But I'll tell you something. As somebody who grew up in Chicago and used to work there until not that long ago, if I could get from Wausau or, say, Merrill to Chicago and not have to deal with the Kennedy Expressway, with the Edens, with the traffic jams and the headaches, and then worrying about where you're going to park your car for $40 a night, if I could just get on a train and make it there in a few hours, boy, I'd be the first to sign up.
No question.
We're talking to Tom Berg, the author of Root of the Northwoods Hiawatha, also Pat Berg and B. Liebel of the Merrill Historical Society. This is Route 51. We'll be back after this news.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares, it is time to relax at the junction. Lots of curves, you bet, and even more when you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
There's a little hotel called the Shady Rest at the Junction.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio talking about the history of the railroads, linking the communities of north central Wisconsin, including the old community of Jenny or Merrill, which I think bore probably a strong resemblance to Petticoat Junction at one point in time. Our guest, Tom Berg, who's the author of Root of the Northwoods Hiawatha, a beautiful picture book which delineates the Milwaukee Roads-Wisconsin Valley Line. We've also got his wife, Pat Berg, who's a treasurer of the Merrill Historical Society, and B. Liebel, the society's president, to talk about the history of Merrill and also their efforts to build a Merrill History Museum and Cultural Center. There's a campaign going on right now in order to raise some money. And if you'd like to know more about that, and I'm going to get this out of the way right now, you can check out their website. And, Pat, help me out again.
MerrillHistoricalSOC.com.
And that number is 536-5652 if they want to get in touch with you. And Tom Berg will be signing copies of his book from 11 to 4.
Correct.
In Merrill at the Historical Society headquarters, and then 6 to 8 p.m. At Yankee Books in downtown Wausau. That's on Saturday. We were talking about passenger service from Chicago all the way into the Northwoods. Now, Tom, on the last page of your book, you've got a Milwaukee Road timetable from June 29th of 1947 for the line called the Fisherman. The Northwoods Hiawatha leaves Chicago at 7:40 p.m. Friday night. It's in Milwaukee by 9 o'clock, in Portage a little after 11, Wisconsin Rapids 2 in the morning, Wausau 3:30 in the morning, Merrill 4:17 in the morning, Tomahawk 5 in the morning, and then it arrives in Minocqua at 6:40 a.m. How popular was that line?
Well, it was very popular. I think what eventually did away with that line was the automobile more than any other single thing. And the changes in society after World War II probably did that too. You'll notice that timetable is 1947 or 48 when all three of the name trains on the Valley Line are on that timetable, the Fisherman, the Tomahawk, and the Northwoods Hiawatha.
It was a different time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And we had a lot of resorts and a lot of buildings that were built along that train line that are still in use today. You've got a picture of the Woodruff train station, which is still in use today, but in a different form.
Yes, actually, that station was one of the later ones built in about 1929 and 1930. It's a log depot, one of the few log depots anywhere. There are several other places in the country, but not a lot of them. And that depot today is, at least when I was last up there, was a restaurant.
And we've also got a resort that grew up in Star Lake, the Hotel Waldheim, back in the late 1800s, and that building is still in operation.
Right, it is. It was a very popular resort. Had various names, the Waldheim, the Oliver Lodge, the North Star Lodge. I believe it's still operating today as such. And people would come from Chicago and Milwaukee overnight on the train, as you pointed out, to spend the weekend in Star Lake.
Now, if you go to Star Lake today, there's a beautiful campground there in connection with the Northern Legion American the Northern Highland American Legion Forest. I've camped on the shores of Star Lake, and it's some of the most pristine, beautiful country you can imagine. But they have remnants of that old logging operation that you can drive through. And that was really what Star Lake was like 100 years ago.
Right. It as you can see from some of the photos in the book, had a huge sawmill, Salsrich and Wilson Company. They had logging railroads fanning out into the forest north of there. Actually, the lodge you mentioned was built by one of the sawmill owners to entertain some of his guests, high rollers from that era in. Star Lake was much of a company town. It had non-company homes, but most of the homes in Star Lake were built as company homes for the workers at the sawmill.
The rail lines themselves from Star Lake to Woodruff were torn up shortly after the war. Why did that happen?
Well, lack of use. You know, there was never really a normal time in what you could call a normal time from World War I to the Depression to World War II, and a lot of the changes in society cut back on, well, in World War II, you couldn't just take those tourist trains to the Northwoods. And by the end of it, then in came the automobile, and people were much more mobile and decided not to take the train to the Northwoods. So, you know, when the line isn't being used, it's going to be cut back.
We're talking to Tom Berg, the author of Root of the Northwoods Hiawatha, also Pat Berg and B. Liebel of the Merrill Historical Society. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've got memories of those old trains or memories of what the city of Merrill used to be like in years gone by, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now, and you can get right on in. We'll put you on the radio. Let's talk about one of the old railroad, I don't want to call him a tycoon, W.H. Bradley, who was pretty influential in the Tomahawk and in the area right around Merrill. Who wants to take that one?
I guess that'd be me. yes, William H. Bradley is known as the founder of Tomahawk, had lumber companies, established his own railroad, known as the Marinette Tomahawk and Western Railroad. Now it's still in existence as the Tomahawk Railway. Bradley wanted to dominate everything in Lincoln County. He decided to build his line south, parallel to the Valley Line, actually, to try to cut off Merrill, from his arch rival Merrill, from connections from the east. But Bradley was quite a guy.
He built his line through Gleason, correct?
Correct. He built the Marinette Tomahawk and Western Railway down south through Gleason, which was a settler's homestead named Gleason. And shortly afterward, Bradley died, and then that road part of that was taken over by the Milwaukee Railroad and built further on down into Marathon County at Glendon and Kalinke.
And you ended up with a spur that serviced Gleason and Irma and some of those communities that are along Highway 17 right now.
Yes, not Irma, but yes, logs that were logged 10 miles from Wausau out around Glendon would ride north to Gleason, west over to north of Merrill at Otis, and then back south all the way to Wausau to the sawmills here.
Bradley considered Merrill to be his arch nemesis. What did that rivalry do for the city of Merrill back at the turn of the century? Anybody know?
Well, I guess I think it probably congealed the lumber barons of Merrill. There were a number of them. The river was lined with sawmills back in those days, sawing timber that came in both by rail and by river. And so to this day, there are really these two sites in Lincoln County. I would not call them rivals now, but it has affected the entire political climate of Lincoln County over the years.
Merrill, a sawmill town, sawmills lining both sides of the river, and with that came things like an opera house, several hotels. What was Merrill like back at the turn of the last century?
Well, allow me to read briefly from a history of the early years of Merrill, which was written by Sharon Thatcher, who works with Tom, by the way, on his books, and also is a member of our historical society. And in this book, she says, Jenny, the county seat of Lincoln County, is located on high rolling ground on the right bank of the Wisconsin River. The location is indeed a very beautiful one. And then it goes on to talk about the population. And there were two stores, one of them carrying a large and well-assorted stock of general merchandise, three good hotels, a large saw and shingle mill, also drugstore, cabinet shop, two blacksmith shops, shoe shop, harness shop, and all the necessary concomitant attendants of a well-regulated town. Besides this, and what is the chief merit of the place, it contains one of the finest school buildings in the northern part of the state. So
is that building still in service today?
Which building?
The school building.
Oh, the school building. Actually, no.
That's probably a good thing because it probably wouldn't meet our codes today.
I think the oldest school building that is still being used is now part of the middle school, and there was a portion of that that was built in around 1900, sometime in that time frame. And, of course, it has been enlarged and changed and a portion of it mm-hmm. burned and all of those things that happen over time.
But, you know, you go back to that time, you had an opera house in Merrill, an opera house.
Well, I think that, I'm sorry.
Yes, and Merrill was a thriving, booming town, and I think we had the sawmills, we had the lumbering, but clearly as the logs disappeared and the lumbermen moved on to other things, a lot of our prominent people from Merrill wound up in Wausau. They went west. They followed the timber. They did different things. So actually, Merrill began to shrink when we lost our access to the one commodity that was really keeping us thriving.
And that logging business led to Lincoln Logs, which were invented in Merrill? I had no idea.
Yes, yes, we are famous for that. Lincoln Logs were invented in Merrill.
And, of course, the name Lincoln comes from Lincoln County.
Correct.
A gentleman named H.B. Kaltenborn, the Walter Cronkite of the 30s and 40s, a radio broadcaster, grew up in Merrill. And there's a broadcasting scholarship in his name right now in New York. Nels Evu founded the Capital Times in Madison, and there was even an auto manufacturer in Merrill, Ned Jordan. Anyone want to elaborate on that?
Well, the Jordan automobile was actually was most popular for its advertisements, very creative advertising, the Jordan Playboy automobile, and an ad billing it as somewhere west of Laramie. And in fact, these ads showed women for the first time driving fancy automobiles around the country. But Ned Jordan, a Merrill boy, grew up to manufacture that automobile.
One of your pictures, Tom, in the book Root of the Northwoods, Hiawatha, has a picture of the old Page Milk Company in Merrill.
Correct. And Page Milk, as you commented before, gave name to the entertainer Patty Page, who was the spokesperson for the Page Milk Company back on the radio in the 50s.
And I swear you learn something new every day. 1-800-780-9742. We're talking about the history of the railroads and the history of Merrill and the other communities that line the Wisconsin River Valley. Let's go back to the phones. We have Jeff in Wausau. Jeff, you're on Route 51. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, is this Tom?
This is Glenn, but Tom is here. You can talk to him.
Can I?
Yeah, he's on. You're on the radio right now, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question about the Milwaukee Road.
Okay, let's hear it.
My question is an update on the Elko 261, a freight steam engine out of Milwaukee that ran the route from Green Bay to Milwaukee. I'd like to know what the status of it is. Is it still running? Do they do excursions? And is it still running? That's what I wanted to know. Tom, I know, has some information about that.
The 261 is not currently operable, but that's only because it is down for major repairs. The reason for your listeners that don't know about this that he's asking is the 261 that was owned by the museum in Green Bay and leased to an organization in the Twin Cities that operated it in an excursion service underwent some difficulties early in the year. The museum and the leasing organization couldn't get together on its future. Finally, it has been purchased by the Friends of the 261 organization.
Okay.
Repairs are now continuing. It probably will be back in excursion service early next spring.
Okay.
Jeff, do you like those old trains?
I, my father worked on the Milwaukee Road as a conductor. And when I was nine years old, he put me in the engineer's seat, and I drove that 261 partway down to Milwaukee.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Okay.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Pat and Tom Berg and also B. Liebel, we're talking about the history of the trains that joined communities like Merrill up and down the Wisconsin River Valley. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of the station. Thanks very much.
The route, as we say here in north central Wisconsin, I call the show Route 51 to play off of the old song Route 66. But Route of the Northwoods, Hiawatha, or Route if you prefer, is a book written by Tom Berg, a beautiful picture book showing a lot of these early trains and the stations that graced the Northwoods. We've also got Pat Berg and B. Liebel of the Merrill Historical Society. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phone. Sue in Arbor Vitae. You're on Route 51. Hello, Sue.
Hi. My great-grandparents moved to Pine River in 1876, and he had a blacksmith shop in Merrill. He was in business with Kunkel. And the house that he built in 1890 is still in use today.
Wow.
So, Martin Larson, his name was.
Ladies? If you need to contact the Merrill Historical Society,
mm-hmm.
Sue, they can probably give you more information when they have access to their records.
Oh, sure.
And Pat, that phone number again?
The phone number is 536-5652, and we always are looking for information. So if you have pictures of that homestead or information about it, that would be wonderful if you would be willing to share.
Oh, I had taken a lot of pictures down to the museum several years ago, and they copied them.
Oh, good. Good.
I'll call you. I can send more information.
And that would be great. We're in the process of trying to put together a small logging exhibit for the winter.
Oh.
And those would be the kinds of things. We're looking for a lot of good photos, and so those would be the kinds of things we'd like to get out this winter.
Okay. My grandfather delivered ice in Merrill.
Wow.
So,
that is a long time ago.
Well, he was married in 1890.
So you've lived in the area your entire life?
Oh, yes.
Would you like to see train service back again? Do you have a special place in your heart for those old trains?
Oh, they were wonderful. I used to ride up from Racine and every couple weeks on the Northwestern.
Sue, thanks so much for the phone call. We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You know, Tom, there are stops we never hear of anymore. If you look at the map on the back of your book, it goes through the tracks go through Mosinee, Rothschild, Schofield, Wausau, Brokaw, and then there's Heights and Finn, and then Merrill. What is that?
Well, Heights is Granite Heights. If you had if you went up Highway W north of Wausau and watched the signs, you'd see Granite Heights Road, and if you took it down to the riverfront where the railroad is, you'd find a small community of Granite Heights, which was where the granite quarries on both sides of the river were, loaded their products onto railroad cars of the Milwaukee Road.
Marathon County Red Granite was
correct. And it came down by overhead tramway and then across the river either by cableway or floated across on a ferry and was loaded on cars there. You'll notice one photo in the book of one of the early granite works where they made headstones and cobblestones for city streets there at Granite Heights. Finn was just south of the junction of the Pine River and the Wisconsin River. There's a photo in the book of the Finn Depot, and it's a small structure plus an umbrella-type passenger shed. That little shed still exists in the yard of a tavern south of Merrill.
And you go further south, and we're running out of time, but I do want to at least touch on this. The community of Grand Rapids, and was it Centralia that was a twin city?
Correct. Grand Rapids and Centralia that finally got together to rename themselves Wisconsin Rapids.
And that was after the railroad came through and the mills were built, and it turned into quite a community down there. Probably wouldn't have happened if you didn't have that railroad traffic.
Well, there was a small community there on the Grand Rapids of the Wisconsin River, but certainly that became, in fact, Wisconsin Rapids had four railroads, so yes, it was quite a railroad community.
Tom Berg, would you like to see passenger rail service up and down the Wisconsin River Valley again? And I'm asking you what you would like, not whether you think it's possible or likely.
Well, as I said before, everybody likes trains. I like the opportunity to travel by train. Now, I'm retired, so that plays a role in it, but more and more people are traveling by train because, for one thing, airlines are just getting more and more of a hassle. Yeah, I'd love to see it. You've hit on it. I think we've got to be smart with the way we spend our money, and I think Amtrak is doing the best job they can right now and is going to expand.
Thank you so much. We want to thank today's guest, Tom Berg, the author of Root or Route of the Northwoods Hiawatha, the Milwaukee Roads Wisconsin Valley Line, Pat Berg, the treasurer of the Merrill Historical Society, and B. Liebel, the president of the Historical Society. If you want to find out more about the Merrill Historical Society's efforts to build a new museum and cultural center, it's MerrillHistoricalSOC.com, or you can call them at 536-5652. Reminder that Tom will be signing copies of his book at the Merrill Historical Society 11 to 4 this coming Saturday, and then at Yaki Bookstore in downtown Wausau Saturday evening, 6 to 8 p.m., as part of the Exhibitor Arts Festival.
I'm Glenn Mulberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Special music today by Muddy Waters, Vassar Clements, Elvis Presley, and the television show Petticoat Junction. Tomorrow I'll be substituting for Ben Marins and hosting At Issue on the Ideas Network. My guest at 4 will be Eric Giordano, political science professor at UW Marathon County, as we listen to your views on the news. And at 5, I'll be talking to theoretical physicist Leonard Mlodinow, the co-author of Stephen Hawking's new book on the nature of the universe, The Grand Design, which is number one on this week's New York Times bestseller list. I'm looking forward to that. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
Train, train.